John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? So here they're talking about Nicodemus is, you know, talking to Jesus, and he's talking about how Jesus can do these things, because no man can do these things and God not be with him. And Jesus is saying, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is having trouble. Can you close the door? Same. Nicodemus is having trouble understanding, you know, what this means. And he's trying to comprehend that. And because he's saying, how can a man be old and be born again? How does that work? How can I go back to my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus is trying to tell him that it's a spirit, it's born of spirit and water, and it's not born of, you know, flesh. So, yes, it's being born of spirit, it's not being born of flesh, and the natural way that Nicodemus is thinking. So part of being born again is being changed and being different. And I'm going to read some quotes from Brother Branham in You Must Be Born Again. Let's see here. If I can find it. He says, Now the approach to this birth, there is approach to it, and to approach this birth, you have to go through a process, just like anything that lives again. And that's a question, is how can you live again when you're already alive, which is the question Nicodemus was trying to answer when he was saying, how can I go back to my mother's womb? How can I do that? And you can't, that's not how that works, but here Brother Ram is going to explain it. Is that just like anything that lives again has got to die first, and you cannot keep your same spirit, you cannot keep your same habits, you cannot keep your same thoughts, you got to die. You've got to die like he died. You've got to die in his altar like Abel died with his lamb. You got to die with your lamb. You got to die. Die to your own thinking to be born to his thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. You got to think his thoughts. Now, brother, sister, let me say this as intelligent as I know how to say it. So in order to be born again, in order to live again, you don't just go back to your mother's womb or live again, but you actually have to die first before you can live again. Before you can be born again, you actually have to die out. You can't just be alive and then be born again. It's not how that works. You have to actually die first. Once you die, then you can be resurrected. That's why, when Brother Will Wade talks about how we're going to a baptism, he talks about we're going to a funeral. Because you're supposed to die so that when you come back up out of the water, it's Christ living in you. It's a life of Christ. It's everything in you is consumed by Christ. So it's not, it's not just, you know, we're alive and then something happens and we keep doing the things that we do, or we keep, you know, we just keep living our life and we keep staying in our habits and doing what we want to do, but really we die out to ourselves. We have to die and surrender completely, and then we can live again. It's not just, we can't just, you know, because a lot of people sometimes believe that, oh, you just come to church and you say Jesus was, you know, my savior, and then you just do, you keep living the way you live, and you keep doing what you do, and you keep sinning, and you keep being immoral. But what the Bible says and what Brother Branham says, you have to die out first. And your disciples, the disciples caught this message, because when Jesus was crucified and once he left, they had to spread the word and tell other people that you have to die. And he said you have to die daily. And that's to mean, you know, I mean, all the habits and like Brother Branham said, all the thoughts and all the things that you like, that you hold on to before you're born again, you have to let those things go and completely die out to yourself, really. It's really dying out to yourself and yielding to God, and then you can be born again. So in order to live again, you must die. And that's, you know, sometimes it seems odd, but that's how it is. You have to die first before you can be born again. And the concept of born again, you know, you think of a natural birth. You're not alive before you're born again, before you're born. So similar with a spiritual birth, you know, you have to, what the state you're in before you're born again is not alive. It's death. It's not manifested as a living thing, but you're just in a state of non-existence for the most part. But in the spiritual birth, you know, once you're born, then you're here. But in order to be born again, you have to die and then come back as a new creature, as the Bible says. And Brother Branham says, yes, to be born again, you must go through a process of death. Everything does. You take a grain of corn. If that corn ever expects to live again, it's got to die first. If a grain of wheat ever expects to live again, it's totally impossible for that corn, the wheat, that flower, that tree, the grass, the vegetable, everything that expects to live again must die first. Then how you going to escape it? You got to die first. You got to die. Die how? To yourself. Die to everything so that you can be born again. You've got to do that. If you don't die, you can never live again. So it just seems like such a, almost like a contradiction to be like how, you know, the way to life is actually death. And the Bible even says so, that sometimes the things that we see here are actually going to be reversed, you know, in a spiritual sense. So like the first shall be last, you know, and things that people think here are life is actually death. Even Brother Venom talks about how, you know, he saw people enjoying themselves and they were in sin, and they said this is life, and he said no, that's death, that's actually death. So in a way that people think here they're doing what you want and going out and partying or whatever the case may be, just living in, according to your own pleasure, people think that's really living life, is when you're enjoying yourself and you're pleasing yourself. But really, that's death, because really that's death. That's what's going to lead to death. And what we think, you know, is death is actually life. So it's weird how sometimes those things are reversed. Because in order to get to life, you have to die. But in order, if you think, you know, the way you want to live and the way you want to, you know, do what you want to do, that's actually death. So it's important to remember that the difference is there, you know, between life and death. Brother Branham says, now, what kind of nature have you got then, Brother Branham? His nature. And that's a big part, is because it's a complete change within you. It's a completely different person living through you. It's a change of your nature. It's a change of your being. It's a change of your desires. It's a change of your heart. It's a change of, you know, what you want to do. Even wanting to come to church, or wanting to, you know, be a forgiving person, or wanting to live according to God's word. Because before, you just live according to what you want and according to how you feel that day, or maybe someone told you something and you listen to your parents or your teacher because they're an authority. But once you have the new birth, you do things, you know, of your free moral agency, but because we have free margin to choose what we do and what, you know, what we want, if we want to do right or wrong, and we have free moral agency once we've come to the age of accountability. But then we get to choose if you want to, you know, do the right thing or the wrong thing. And but when you have the new birth, God changes your nature. He changes your desires. He goes within you, changes your thoughts. He changes all those things. He cleans you out, and he dwells inside of you so that all your desires align with His. Everything that you do in your life will want to align with the Word. If you know, you offend somebody, you know, you'll want to apologize to them, or you'll want, you know, forgiveness for something that you've done that may seem minor, but if it will please the Lord, and if it's holy, if it's edifying, if it's according to the Word, you want to just fall right in line with it. And that requires a death, because many people who are, you know, when they don't want to apologize for things, or they don't want to do the right thing, or be kind, or whatever the case may be, it's usually because of something in themselves. They're worried about, you know, their own pride or their own feelings, or, well, they started it, and they're not looking into the Word. But once you have a change in your nature, it's not they started it, it's, well, the Bible said, turn the other cheek. The Bible says, recompense not evil for evil. The Bible says to love thy neighbor, to forgive those so that Christ will forgive you. And instead of looking to how you feel or what you desire or what you want, you look more to what God wants and what will please God, and how to win God's favor, and more of building that relationship with God as opposed to just doing what you want to do and seeking your own pleasure. So he says, what kind of nature have you got? Brother Branham says, his nature. He said, if I had my father's nature, then I'd do the things my father did. But now that I'm born again, it depends on who my father was. If you're just born in the church, you got a church father, and you can call him father if you want. You call him anything you want to, because he's your father. But if your father is God, then you're born in the family of God. You seek those that pertain to God. That's right. Then you are God's child. Then your nature is God's nature. So similar to, like, you know, your natural parents. Maybe there's things from your natural parents that you inherit, that you, to act like them a little bit. And things that they do, you pick up on, and you pick up on their habits and their traits, and you adapt those into yourself. But once you're born again, that's another thing about being born again, is that when you're born the first time, you're born to a set of parents, your mom and your dad, and, you know, there are a lot of their habits and traits you pick up, and a lot of things come, you know, just from your natural, just like we said, your nature, your natural sense. And a lot of your DNA and habits and brain chemistry and all those things will come from your parents. But when you're born again in Christ, then he's your father, and so he's your parent, and you pick up his nature and his attributes the same way that when you're born here naturally, you pick up the attributes and characteristics of your parents. But when you're born again unto Christ, then you pick up his attributes and his characteristics. And then it changes you. You get his nature. Instead of your parents' nature or whatever nature you had, you get his nature and his traits. You know, Brother Branham talks about how, you know, his family, there's a lot of trouble and a lot of things going on in his family, and a lot of undesirable characteristics. You know, like a lot of his family were drunks and they were fighters and all these different things. But when he just got the new birth and got cleaned out, and God came to dwell in him, then he became a very humble, very modest, very, you know, respectable person, because those were the traits of his father. You see, so the characteristics of, you know, his new father, Christ, when he's born again. So once he's born again and comes into the new the family of God, then the characteristics from God start to, you know, show themselves through him. And he says, the soul, now remember, good or bad, death doesn't have one thing to do with it. Death just takes it to its destination here. And you still got the Word, the world, and the love of the world in it. It'll die with you, because the world must die. God has condemned the world. That's the world order. God has condemned it, and it's going to die. And if that world's in you, you'll die with that world. My, I don't see how it could be any plainer. So, if you don't have God in you, then, you know, you have the world in you, you're of this world, and you're part of this world, and that's the world is, as you said, condemned, and it's going to die. So in order to escape that death, we have to die to ourselves. If we don't die to ourselves, then we will die. So either way, we're going to have to die. So it's either we die with the world or we die to ourselves and we surrender ourselves to Christ. So those are really our only two options. Either way, there's death, but in one of those options, we can be reborn and born again into, you know, a family of God, so that we can, you know, reap the benefits of that and have eternal life and just truly let Christ dwell in us and manifest his gifts and all his attributes in us and through us. So that's really the dividing line, is which death do you want? Which death will you take? Because either way, you will have to die. There's no escaping death, but it's the type of death that we're trying to escape. And we don't want to die with the world. We don't want to die, you know, with the things or to enjoy pleasure for a season, as the Bible says. But we want to die to ourselves so that we can be born again in him, in Christ. And that's the only way to be born again, is to die. You know, I was thinking, read in the life of John the Baptist the other day, what he said, what he called them, you generation of vipers. Why he was raised in the wilderness, see, he knowed what they was. Stomped your foot and they took for cover, you generation of vipers. Also the axes laid to the root of the tree, tree vipers, axes. He taught them what he know. That's the way you learn God, by what you know. You see a pig and a lamb, there's no nothing at all you can't make. You might wash that little old pig up and do everything you want to, he's still a pig. He's got to be reborn before he can be a lamb. And that's exactly the truth, because a pig and a lamb are completely different animals. There's no way you're going to have a pig throughout its lifetime become a lamb, no matter what you do, no matter how much wool you put on his body, no matter, you know, what type of food you get it to eat, no matter if you put it in the herd. Even Brother Branham always talks about that chicken analogy, where there's an eagle and he's amongst the chickens, and you know, he acts like a chicken, he walks like a chicken, he clucks like a chicken, but then one day he sees an eagle fly overhead and he knows he's not a chicken, and he just spreads his wings and flies. And the same is true of the new birth. A pig will never be a lamb. No matter how hard the pig tries, no matter how hard we try, you know, to be a Christian, to do these things, we're not going to be a Christian unless our nature is changed, unless we're changed from the inside out, unless we die and are reborn. That's the only way that we can truly, you know, come to the new birth. And a pig, the same way a pig, no matter what you do, he cannot be a lamb. So how can that pig be born again? It has to die first and then it be born again as a lamb. And once it's born again as a lamb, it'll have all the attributes of a lamb. It'll eat grass, it'll follow the herd, it'll be mindful of the shepherd. It'll do everything that sheep do once it's born again, but it has to die first. It cannot be a lamb if it also wants to stay a pig. That's just not how that works. So, and understand, all of this is just a metaphor for the spiritual, is that we cannot, you know, want to remain pigs. We cannot desire the pig lifestyle. We cannot just stay being a pig and in the mud and eating slop and all these things. And we can't want to do those things. We can't just want. So our desire should not be to do those things. Our desire should not be of the mud, of the slop, or all those things. But our desires should be, you know, to be guided by a shepherd, to be eating grass and with the herd. And Brother Bam talks about how, you know, you want, once you're the spirit in you, then you want to be around people who also have that spirit in them. And that's the same with the sheep. You know, the pig, when he's a pig, he wants to be around pigs, because he's a pig. And he likes being in the mud, and so do other pigs. So then he wants to associate with them. But a lamb wants to be eating grass and around the other lambs and around the shepherd as well. An interesting correlation with this in psychology, actually, is that something about addicts is that addicts can go through rehab and they can be completely clean. But the number one thing that will start an addict back on the trail of addiction is when they go around their friends they used to smoke with or do drugs with. And that's what'll get them back in the habit again. is when they could go through rehab and be completely clean. They can not smoke for a year. They can be completely fine, no withdrawal symptoms, but they get around those same friends, those same, you know, they get around the pigs again, and then they start getting back in the mud, and they start doing those things and doing those drugs, and they start reoffending and relapsing and all those things. And that's the number one thing that will get an addict back into those bad behaviors, is being around those people. So sometimes you need to distance yourself. And truly, you just need to be completely cleaned out by God and have God dwelling in you. But a lot of the times, you know, being around pigs is going to make you want to act like a pig. But if you're around lambs, it'll make you want to act like a lamb. So that's the number one thing that addicts struggle with. And that's the same thing in the Christian journey, is that, you know, being around the right people is very important. And there's, I mean, even within the natural world, with even psychologists and philosophers, they understand, there's a saying that, you know, you look at your five closest friends, and people can tell who you are based off of your five closest friends and how they act and who they are. So also who you surround yourself with is very important and very crucial to the type of person that you are. So just a last minute question. How do we get into the thoughts of God? How do we get God's nature? How do we understand God's thoughts?
Read the Bible and pray.
That's right, read the Bible and pray. Because the Bible is the Word. And as Brother Branham said, a word is a thought expressed. So the Word of the Bible is literally God's thoughts expressed, so that we can read it and glean from it. And it's like looking into the mind of God as reading the Bible. So that's how important it is to read the Bible. You know, if we're to be Christians and to take on the nature of God, you know, this is the Lamb handbook. This is the Lamb guide. Everything that we need to know about being a lamb and following His word is going to be in here. And everything we need to know about what God thinks of us, what God thinks of our life, what we need to do, how we should go about everything, it's going to be in the word. So keep that in mind. God bless you. You're dismissed.